So welcome and God bless you. Thank you for worshiping with us today. And this is the Lord today, and we're thankful. I want to send a shout out to those that are watching via online or streaming. If you're ever in the Springfield area, feel free to stop by. We'll make you feel right at home, no doubt about it. And we don't apologize for our jubilant praise because, man, he has been faithful to us. And when we think about what he's done, we are really saying, Lord, thank you for being faithful. So, and we give God praise. As Jesus said, 29 years. Thank you, honey, for being faithful all this time in ministry because, you know, it's just been a blessing. Thank you so much. From the bottom of my heart. Nobody else I'd rather work with in ministry but you. So we give God all the glory. And I thank God for you. I pastor the greatest church in the world. That's to me. That's what I think. And nobody like you all. Nobody like you. Nobody like you. So I appreciate you, no doubt about it. So I'm ready to go into the message today. It's from the book of John, John 14. And just two verses there, and I'll pray, and we'll get into that word. So the passage says this, and you know any time a passage starts off saying, but you know that there's a lot before it, and we'll get into what's before it in the near future, but it starts off by saying, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. And this particular passage says, and bring to your remembrance all things that I've said to you. 27th and final verse. It says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Then he says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So we're going to talk about just our helper. Say it with me, our helper. Father, thank you so much for your love and kindness. Thank you for what you're doing in this place. Thank you, God, that our attention is upon you. And thank you that some of us got just what we wanted when we came into presence. We wanted to lift you up and unapologetically raise our hands and tell you thank you. Not worried about who's has a comment about our praise, because our praise is for real. And our praises to you, God, because you truly have been good to us. And thank you for 29 years. And God, you've got so much more you want to accomplish. So we yield ourselves to you and say, speak to us today. And we ask it in the matchless name of Jesus. And think about something he's done and go on and give him your best praise right now in his presence. Hallelujah. 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 Earlier this year, my mother and father took us, the kids, and whoever else would want to go with the family on a family pilgrimage down south. And on the way, anybody else, any of y'all from down south, Mississippi area, Tennessee, Arkansas, yeah, there's a few people, and some of y'all say, you from Maine, and we know you from the Maine part of Mississippi. Yeah, but they took us down south, and on our way they stopped in this place called Hennings, Tennessee, which is not too far from Covington, where I was born. Population about 1,100 people, and we visited this historic site where the Alex Haley Museum was, and he's most known for being the award-winning author of Roots, and we know him. He's certainly one that loves God, has a strong faith passed down from his family. In fact, the actual museum is on Church Street. And in Alex's office, he has a big picture on the wall, and the picture is of a turtle, and the turtle is sitting on top of a fence post. And when people would come in, they would ask the question, Alex, why do you have a turtle on a fence post on this picture? And Alex would join his heart looking for the time to be able to answer the question. He says, when you see a turtle on a fence post, you know that the turtle had some help. Turtle don't fly. Turtle can't climb. And then he says, I want you to look around here and look what God has done for me, made me one of the greatest authors around, world renowned. And then when you see me sitting here, I want you to know that I've had some help. I didn't get here by myself. Can I tell you that when you see Abundant Faith, 29 years reaching out to the world through faith, hope, and love, guess what? We didn't get here by ourselves. We had some help. Can I get a witness? Amen. If you know you've been helped, why don't you give God some praise right where you are? In fact, that's what I want to talk to you about today. Our helper, because our helper is why we are where we are right now. The Holy Spirit oftentimes is disregarded. He's disregarded because of sometimes misunderstanding, and then sometimes because people are, you know, it's a little harder to explain because, you know, when you talk about, you know, the Father, it's easy to understand God the Father because, you know, we understand a natural Father and we can correlate the two. It's easier to understand Jesus because he was an actual person like we were. And he walked this earth, and there are actual stories of him. So it's more easy to understand, you know, the Father and the Son. But when it gets to the Holy Spirit, you know, a lot of us struggle with that. And I understand why, because of the past teachings, for one reason. And sometimes, you know, they say, well, you know, maybe that's just not as important. So sometimes we go through our life not knowing that we have a helper. And that's a problem. If you go through life not knowing that you have help, you know, you miss out on a whole lot of things. You don't try a whole lot of things. You don't have the faith to know that you can do it because you have the help that you need to accomplish what God has put in your heart to do. Are you with me today? And I understand, too, that, you know, me coming up, I recognize that when I was 18 years old, you know, I got serious about my walk with God. I was away to school, and instead of me going away acting a fool, which I tried to for a while, it didn't work out. You ever sit in the tavern and the tavern didn't feel good? You said you weren't supposed to be there. Yeah, some of y'all have. Jesus said, no, I've never been in a tavern, bless God. But for the ones of you that have been in the club, there's been a few. I know a few of y'all been in the club, in the real section, hallelujah. Yeah. But you knew that you just didn't feel comfortable there, and the Holy Spirit started dealing with me and drew me closer to him. And I got up, I just left, and I began to, you know, seek him, and I began to go to many different places. And I went to a church. Thank God for the church that I went to. The church that I went to was Bishop's Temple. It was a Kojic church, Church of God in Christ. Thank God for the Pentecostal church. And it really helped me out because when I got there, they were helping me with my walk, helped me get settled in, a whole lot of love. But one thing I didn't understand is how committed they were to seeing me receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I had no idea why y'all pushing this so much. They had me on the altar. I was on the altar. They had altar call every Sunday, and they would put me on the altar, and they would sit me up there in front of everybody saying, Jesus, Jesus, say, you know, then have me doing a let me bring this on. They had me talking about, you know, save me, fill me, and I was sitting right here and in front of everybody. And I didn't understand, but they kept working with me, and they wanted to see some expression, some demonstration that I had the Holy Spirit. And now, this was my challenge. I saw others operating with the gifts and at church. But when we weren't at church, I didn't see the application of the same spirit because you don't usually dance when you're not at church. I'm just being real. Some people do, but as a whole, the Holy Spirit, you know, oftentimes I didn't see it operating in their lives on a regular basis. I started saying, God, help me so I can understand that it's more than just a demonstration through what comes out of my mouth, but it's a lifestyle. Are y'all with me today? It's a lifestyle. When I get up, you know, I want to tap in. Thank you, God. So let me start off by saying this, that we all need help in this life, whether we admit it or not. Pastor needs help. You know, deacons need help. Musicians need help. Mothers, you definitely need help. Can I get a witness in this house? Raising kids ain't no joke. And some of y'all got some real good children. I got some good children. Hallelujah. Ain't no doubt about it. So we need help in our life. And even marriages, we need help in our life. So I don't need only something on Sunday that would make me have chill bumps. Y'all better hear what I'm saying. I need something when I go home that I can listen to him. And not only listen, I can obey him. And he'll change my life because he's a helper. I just don't want to feel him on Sunday morning when they say, you've been so good, you've been so faithful. That's good because I felt the Holy Spirit. But then I want this same feeling. I want him to be with me when I leave the place. Are you with me today? Somebody give him a real good shout in the house. When I was a little boy, I remember going into the refrigerator and taking out a jug. It was a big jug. We used to have like a gallon jug or maybe 2 gallon jug of those old glass pickle jugs, jars, glass. And we had our water in there, and I wanted some. I wasn't that big, you know, and I went in there, and other folks was at the table eating, and I tried to pull it out myself. I pulled it out. It was heavy. I dropped it. It broke. Cut my leg, you know. I mean, I was bleeding profusely. And you think my parents gonna take me to the hospital? In that day, no, we're gonna pray. Where's the olive oil? Give me a rag. Wrapped it up. Hey, hallelujah. I thank God for how God continued to protect us, especially in the olden days. Thank you, Jesus. But I turned out, man, it's amazing what cod liver oil, you know, goose grease, and some stuff like that used to work in the old days. Man, they'd have you grease up with some, I think it's, hey, you gone, ain't you all right? But I remember my father saying, he says, son, why didn't you ask for help? And I often wonder and think to myself, because I wanted to do it myself. I thought I was a big kid, and when you're a big kid, you can do things yourself, or so we think. Some of us right now, we think we're big kids. Therefore, you don't ask for help. Even you say, but I'm grown. I know you're grown. You're still a child of God. And the things that you think you're big in, that you could do it yourself, you need help. Witness to a neighbor saying, you need help. Woo. And sometimes when it comes to men, we really be tripping. We be tripping big time. We can almost be halfway dead. I got this. I got this, y'all. How do I know? What is it about there being a problem with admitting that we need help? God made not one person that had everything in him besides Jesus. And here's my scripture, actually, to go along with that. The Bible says, even then, in the book of John, the 5th chapter, 30th verse, says, Jesus says, I can do nothing of my own. That's how he says he even needs help. He needs to be connected to the Father. And I love this next passage where it goes on and says, this is good, one of my favorite, Acts 10:38. It says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit. He anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And then what did he do? Who went out doing good, healing all those who were oppressed by devils, for God was with him. He didn't even, if Jesus didn't do it by himself, how do you think you're going to do it by yourself? I'm preaching better than you, amen. And for all the independent folks in the house, all the, I got this. I got this. God got this. If Jesus didn't do it by himself, how in the world do you expect to do it by yourself? Even as a church, man, we cannot even be at that place where we think we can do it by ourselves, because we can't. I don't want to have church without the Holy Spirit. I don't want to have church without the helper, without him. I need him in every aspect of my life. Your marriages need him. Your relationships need help. Are you with me today? Your physical body needs health. Your emotions need health. Are you with me today? You know, and the thing about it, when I think about how helpful he is, you know, I think of all the things that we need help in that we may have not asked for help, you know. So for example, you know, we're dealing with, you know, whatever, you may have a challenge at home, I'll say it's because it's fairly common, even with children. You know, you want to tell them one thing, and the Holy Spirit said, don't say that. You want to tell them off, or a neighbor, or a person on the job. You ever want to really, really tell them? Yeah. And the Holy Spirit said, don't do it. Happened to me this week. This week, I'm telling you. I pulled up. I was like, and Jesus said, what's wrong with you? I had that look on my face like something was wrong. She can tell. When I walk in, she can tell. She said, what's wrong with you? I said, I'm good. I just came out of a situation where I wanted to say something to somebody, but the Holy Spirit said, don't say it. You know, so the Holy Spirit won't only cause you to feel something on Sunday. On Monday, he'll talk to you. And then when he talks to you Monday, if you listen to him, you're going to be better off than you would have been if you did what you wanted to do in your mind. Are y'all with me today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let me share this with you. So the question is then we know we need him, even if we don't admit it, and we'll talk about that later on. But who is this Holy Spirit? That's our next question. Well, can I start off by sharing with you that he's not weird? As I don't care how weird people might be, but he's not weird. Can I get a witness? He's not, man. He's God. He's God. He's the third person of the Trinity. What does that look like? So in this passage, Jesus says, I, the Father, the Son, would pray to the Father. God, the Son, would pray to God, the Father, and he would send God, the Holy Spirit. When we hear the Trinity, I don't want it to ever be confused to think that there are three gods. No, there's one God and three persons, the person of God, the Father, the person of God, the Son, and the person of God, the Holy Spirit. And I wish I had been taught like this with, you know, at a church that I didn't want to just feel it, but I kind of wanted to know what I'm talking about and how this operates, how I can apply this to my life on a daily basis. Because I believe if he can help you shout and run and jump over a pew, he can help you through life. Pick the right car, pick the right house, pick the right husband. Are you with me today? The same Holy Spirit. Woo! I needed to know that, though. I needed to know because, and y'all may not like me on this one, but he'll also help you. He'll help you pick the right business decision, make the right business decision. Help me, Holy Spirit. I better move on because I want to say something I don't know if we're ready for just yet, but we'll go back there. But he's not weird. He's not just a feeling, but he is a person. He's a person. And someone said, well, how would you know he's a person? Because he has, the Bible talks about him as a he, and the fact that he has feelings. He can be offended, and he can be grieved. Thank you so much. The truth be known is that the Bible tells us don't grieve the Holy Spirit. So he has feelings. And I don't want to hurt his feelings. I want to love him. I want to say, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Yeah, come feel this place. Come feel the atmosphere. You're welcome. We welcome you as a person. Take your seat. Sit right at the table. In fact, take the head seat. Thank you, God. I want us to be so aware, and at the end of it said, make us aware, make us aware. I want to be aware of his presence everywhere I go. Everywhere I go. You know, I tell you what, when I was at the hospital one particular time, and, you know, they were sharing with me some things that were going on, and man, Holy Spirit just reminded me that he's with me, and just a peace came upon me. You know, when you are aware that he's with you, I don't care what the situation is, you know, it changes everything. It changes everything. And I want you to always know that he is with you. He's for you. Who is he? Thank you, Holy Spirit, that he is. The Bible says in John 14 and 15, it says that he is the helper, and it says he's another helper. And he will abide with you. I like what it says in the book of John 14:26 in the Amplified Version. It says, but the helper, It says comforter, advocate, intercessor. Do you all know when you need comfort when you're in distress, you need a comforter. When you're in fear, you need someone to comfort you. And know that he was talking to them because they were about to be without him. And it's something about the fact that the one that's been with you, your leader, your guide, the one that is the truth, he's been leading you all this time. Now he's getting ready to leave. And he says, but the helper, the comforter, the advocate, the intercessor. In other words, he's going to be interceding for you. It's something, folks, I want you to know that there's an intercessor interceding for us right now on our behalf. Thank you, God. I have appointed earthly intercessors. Well, what does that look like? I say, I want you to pray for me on a regular basis. And they know who they are. I appreciate them so much. Thank God they're here today. I put them specifically in specific places because I know what intercession does. Are y'all with me today? You know, you need to intercede for your children if they're not saved. Even if they are saved, you can intercede for them. Are y'all with me today? You should intercede for your preacher, whoever's preaching that Sunday. Intercede. Hey, Father, I thank you that you're doing a work in him. You know, even when he has a corny joke, still intercede. That's when he really needs you. Bless him right now. That was so corny. I'm just saying, the intercession is important. He's the comforter, the advocate. Advocate, it means that he intercedes on our behalf. He stands up. When the enemy would say, he's this, he's not that, he's not that. He said, the Holy Spirit stands up on your behalf. He's your advocate. You need those people in your life, people in your life that would say, you know, he's not here to defend himself, so let me defend him. You need those friends. Thank you, God. He's a counselor. And these days, folks, counselors there's a lot of people that need counseling. Can I get a witness in the house? And there's nothing wrong with it, so make sure I don't knock counselors because I think people over there say, well, what are you trying to say, Pastor? I shouldn't have a counselor. No, counselors are fine. Life coaches are fine. Therapists are fine. And I didn't know the difference between the two, but one actually has papers and credentials and license, and the other one, you know, anyone can call themselves a life coach. All they need is someone to believe them. They can't, for real. Yeah, they can say, I'm a life coach, and come on in, have a seat, you know. And then you begin to talk to them about the things that go, but they focus on your goals. They focus on your future. They talk about some of the things that you've been through. They try to help you get to another place. But can I let you know that there is a better life coach? I thank God for counselors. I thank God because my family, you know, we've used counselors before. You know, so I don't want you to think anything's wrong with a counselor, but there is a counselor above all counselors. Thank you, God. Y'all still with me today? There's a counselor that knows all about what you've been through before you tell them on the couch. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, God. So he's not only an advocate, intercessor, a counselor, a comforter, but he's a strengthener, and the Bible calls him the Parakletos in the Greek. It says the paraclete or parakletos, and I love this word because it means the one that's right alongside you, because it means he's not going to leave you. You try to go, he's still with you. You try to go back, no, I'm still with you. I ain't leaving you. You go forward, I'm right there. You think you slip into so-and-so's house. You ain't slipping. No, I'm right there with you. You think you slick? Nah, I'm here, baby. And sometimes he'll bring conviction while you're in your mess. I got a few hands on that. Can I get a witness for real in the house? He ever told you, wait, what you doing? Oh, okay, I forgot you was there. I forgot you was there. I'm just letting you know he's for you. He's for you. Why is he there? He convicts you of sin, not to condemn you, but to convict you. This is not right. Don't do this. This is good. I encourage you to do this. That's what type of helper we have. Can I share this with you? And I'm going to have a testimony. I know, man, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Some ask the question, well, how can he help me? It's my last point, and I'm going to bring it on home, and actually Freddie is going to prepare to give testimony. But how can he help me? And this is, I want to address this just for a short while, and you remind me, because I'm going to actually come back this coming Wednesday night. I'm just going to, for those deep divers, and I'm going to be in the prayer room. I'm going to teach a little bit more about this. I'm also going to pray for individuals to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit if you never have before. But this is be a Wednesday night at 6 o'clock, and I just God just told me to do it this past, because I'm going to go deeper, because it's hard for me to get all I need to get in a short period of time, because there's so much to share. But let me share this with you. See, so it says, how can he help me? I'm glad that question is being asked, because the Bible is talking about, well, Jesus is actually sharing, and in the 14th verse of, actually the 12th verse, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he tells them something so profound, still blows me away. He says, the works that I do, the same works shall you do, and greater, because I go to the Father, and saying I'm sending back the Holy Spirit. Now, to me, after seeing Jesus do all he did, it would mess my head up. Raising the dead, healing the sick, caused Lazarus from the dead, turning water into wine. And then he says to them in the same discourse, the works you see me do. Now, I don't know about you all, but that's heavy for me.
Yes. Yes.
That's heavy for me. It really is. It really is. And every time I think about it, it blows me away. I'm going to say it one more time. Because this is a faith-filled church, right? This is a church. We are the what? Not just faith, not a little bit of faith, not a little dab of do it, but what? The works I do, Jesus is talking to his disciples, you shall do. And greater works than these, how? Because I go to the Father and I'm sending back your help. Man, oh man. Wish I could preach it like I feel it. Spoke to storms. Say, peace be still. Storm stop. See, that power is in you. Y'all don't hear me today. Stop the funeral procession and raise the dead woman's son back to life. The power is in you. Thank you, Holy Ghost. And then he says, whatsoever things you pray in my name, not just using, saying the name of Jesus, it means in my authority. Name means authority. He says, whatsoever things you ask in my name, I will do it. Now, I don't know about you, but when I think on that level, I have to get out of my flesh. Are you with me today? I have to shake my, so thousands of souls can be saved. What? That's his will. He needs someone that'll believe him. He says, if you believe me, these signs shall follow you. Are you with me today? Somebody give God praise. How does this happen? How does this happen? First, you have to believe what God says in his word. He says, and I love how he says it, and I'm not sure if you have it in the 12th verse, 14 and 12, it says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, and some in here while I'm preaching, they say, well, I don't believe that. Well, it's not talking about you then.
All right.
It won't happen for you. So I don't believe that. Well, guess what? It won't happen. Only to him who what?
Believes.
Who believes. Do we have any believers in the house? He's talking to you. He's talking to you. And I have to come against the doubt, fear, unbelief. I have to put it behind me. And people that don't believe. And when I tell them this passage, the Bible says, the things that you see Jesus do, you will do, and greater. When they say, I don't believe it, I don't need to hang out with them. I can't make them believe it. If they're sitting there, hey, that's on you. I believe it. You all were here. I spoke to things. And when people didn't believe it, they came forth. You stood with me, extended our hands and said, come forth in the name of Jesus. And guess what? The things that we were praying for and believing God for came forth. Let's bless God in the house. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.